The Smiths were from out around Weaver?
Yeah.
What was Abe Smith's mother and father's name? Do you know? Do you recollect?
Russell, and I can't think of what his mother's name was.
He had brothers and sisters, you know?
Yes, he has brothers and sisters.
Do you know where they were living then in 1930?
Well, it seems to me that they lived out west near the D.A. Payne School, which was a colored school at that time.
And how well did you know him? I mean, he was, what, must have been 17 or 18 years old.
Well, I don't know, just, I didn't know him. I knew who he was by his parents and like that, and I knew the family.
But I think he'd been in some trouble beforehand. I think he's taken a car or something. Did you know anything about that?
No.
What about Cameron, Herbert Cameron?
No, I didn't know anything, didn't know him at
all. Robert Sullivan, did you know him?
No.
Okay. Well, just in reflection, what was the general thought? There are a lot of rumors and cross rumors about that time.
Well, I don't know. See, there was so much gossip about it. Now they said like that Abe had bought this girl a wristwatch and he wanted the wristwatch back. And this is what the trouble started about. Of course, you know, I don't know this. This is gossip.
Mm-hmm. Was there a ballpark here at that time where black teams would come and play?
Yeah, that was at 10th and Western Avenue.
10th and Western Avenue?
Yeah. You know where Hank's grocery store is now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was right in there.
I see. And would they play baseball there like Sunday afternoon?
Yeah.
And did Marion have a team to play?
Marion had a team.
Do you know what the name of it was by any chance?
Well, Marion Giants.
Marion Giants?
Yeah.
Okay. And there were black teams that would come in from other cities?
Well, from other cities like Muncie and Anderson and
you remember any
South Bend and all those places that come in here.
You remember the names of any of those
teams? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I remember them, all of them.
Let's say in summertime, like August, on a Sunday afternoon, what kind of things would black people do? Picnics or baseball?
Well,
or
they'd have a great big thing like they have, C.I. Teller's teams, they'd come here, and then after them, the Clowns would come here. They'd have to, they'd play ball and just like be a big picnic, you know. That's a big thing that they do.
Is there a lot of bootleggers around during that time?
Well, we've always had bootleggers.
Never get rid of that, can you?
No.
Did you ever know a guy by the name of William Spuds Bernal?
I know Spuds Bernal. I knew him well.
Did you?
Yeah.
I talked to him the other day.
Yes, not lately. I haven't saw Spuds in years.
Well, I saw him just the other day.
You did?
Talked to him.
Where was he at?
He's in Indianapolis. He works there on a circle at the Circle Tower Barber Shop. And see, he was in the jail over here the night all that happened.
Yeah.
And they took him out of there in a garbage can. And he's in good health. Gets around good.
Yeah.
Made a nice visit. But,
yeah, I know Spuds.
He'd been locked up over there for a rape charge of some kind. I think he pulled a little time out of it.
Mm-hmm. Come in.
Pulled a little time out of it. And, so he filled me in on some of the activity. Are there any other people still around you think might be helpful? It would give some.
Well, one that I could say now, I know Everett Burden, but I don't know whether he was living here at the time, whether he was in Fort Wayne or here. But Lonzo Marshall, he was here. And he would be the best source of information that I would know. And you see, he had the pool room. He's been in the pool room business for years. And like that. And he'd be the best information that I know.
What was the general reaction in the black community as a result of this thing? Were they afraid? Were they upset? Were they angry?
Well, they were. All of them were upset. That was one thing for sure. Everybody was upset. and kept saying, well, wanted things to cool off, but then you had the radicals that wanted to start trouble, and they had people that came in here from out of town, colored people that there for a while and run up and down the streets and like that. And in fact, I'd say we're looking for trouble, but maybe not.
The National Guard came in
eventually
and kind of soothed things off, I guess. But it was, well, it was kind of a 3 days there, pretty turbulent. I've been just trying to piece some things together. Did you ever hear of anybody that was supposed to be involved in the lynching? Or any names?
Being involved.
Yeah, they eventually indicted about 8 people, you know.
No, I don't. I don't know of that. I know who the sheriff was, with Jake Camel, like that, but I don't know.
What did you think of Jake Camel?
Well, I didn't think too much of Jake Camel.
Why was that? Because of this thing?
Yeah, no, not only on this thing, just on general principle, I never did think much of Jake Camel.
Did you, anybody ever suggest to you that Jake might have been a member of the Ku Klux Klan?
Well, I'd heard that. I'd heard that time and again that he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
You think that was pretty general knowledge?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that was that he was.
Yeah. What about Harley Hardin? Did you know him?
Yeah, I knew Harley Hardin. He was a lawyer here in Marion, but I didn't know too much about him. I knew him.
Did you ever learn afterwards anything that had to do with the circumstances of the shooting out there, and any other than what you've stated, where it was or how it happened? Or
the shooting where now?
The night before, when the Cameron and Ship and Smith shot this fellow.
No, the night that he was shot, Dieter was shot. Well, see, I was in Madison, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but I come back on the same night of the lynching.
Mm-hmm. When you got back home, did you hear any noise or any commotion or sirens?
No.
Or
no. See, I walked right down Nebraska Street to 10th and then up home. And at that time, I didn't have a car. And nobody bothered me, nobody said anything, nothing like that. And so I didn't know anything until I got home. My wife was crying and carrying on. And so she told me they'd lynch these boys and like that.
Were there any police officers that you knew during that time? Charlie Truex, Garland?
Charlie Truex. I knew practically all the police.
Did you know Louis Linneman?
Who?
Louis Linneman, the police chief. Lou Linneman?
Lindemuth, yeah. I knew Lindemuth all for years.
What kind of guy was he?
Well, I don't know too much about him in that, but I knew him for years, and he lived just about a block from where Judge Charles lived, where I worked after I went from Harwood's.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew Lou Lindemann.
So you think that there are some people came in from out of town?
I know there were people came in from out of town.
You don't have any idea who they were?
No.
Probably Indianapolis and Chicago. Maybe.
Yeah, different places they came in here.
Mm-hmm.
He was running up and down the street, you know, like looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my version of
Everybody
it.
Everybody get armed, did they?
Yeah, they all were armed. They had these arms when they come here. Mm-hmm. And that's what Buck Bass had told me. Of course, already had a shotgun, but he told me to get it out to see. Be ready if anything happened.
What was he in?
Buck, he worked around town here. He didn't have a steady job. He did have a steady job and worked at a foundry. And he was Alonzo Marshall's uncle. That's what I'm telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
He was Alonzo Marshall's uncle.
Did you ever know anybody by the name of Apple? A-P-P-L-E?
Who?
Apple. Don't have a first name.
No.
Probably wouldn't have been a black fella.
He was black?
Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody by the name of Dr. W.T. and Mrs. Bailey?
Yeah. I knew them real well.
Was he a physician?
Yes.
Where did he practice?
He practiced right here. I think he and both of them are dead, and his son lives in California, yeah. Charles Bailey.
She was president of the NAACP.
Yeah, president of NAACP.
Do you know anything, you ever hear any her make any explanations about this or
no.
talk about it or say anything? She
no.
was quite active during the time, which I thought took a lot of courage. She made a lot of phone calls to the governor.
Yeah.
Do you ever know a guy by the name of Walter White or talk to a fellow by the name of Walter White?
Walter White here?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Walter White was the secretary for the national NAACP.
Well, now Walter White, he didn't live here in Marion. Now, he was out of New York that was the head of the NAACP.
Yeah.
Yes, I knew of him.
Did you see him during this time?
No, I did not.
Okay. He apparently came here.
Yeah.
And he was very light-complected.
Yeah, way. Very light-complected.
He lived quiet almost. Mm-hmm. That's why he was so effective, because he
yeah.
get into communities and investigate things, but you don't recall ever talking
to him. No, I never talked to him.
Okay. Did you ever know a fellow by the name of Philip Boyd?
Phil Boyd? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Phil Boyd well.
Do you? Do you know
Phil and I both worked for the Sinclair Oil Company at the same time.
Mm-hmm. You get along with him all right?
You know what?
Did you get along with him all right?
Yeah, I got along with him. Yeah, Phil and I are good friends now.
You see him often now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Did you know a fellow by the name of Asa Davis?
Asa Davis?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did you know a fellow named Charles Lennon?
Charles Lennon? Yeah.
What did you know about him?
Well, he drove a taxi around here a lot, and he was in and out of trouble a lot, Charles Lennon was.
Yeah, he was tried as a defendant in this case, you know?
Yeah.
And he was mostly a taxi cab driver.
Yeah.
What kind of fellow was he? Tall, short?
No, he was kind of a heavy fellow, tall, heavy fellow, Lennon was.
And a loud, quiet, or?
How?
Loud or quiet, or?
Well, he could get loud at times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever know anybody by the name of Robert Beshear, B-E-S-H-I-R?
Beshear?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him very well, but I know who you're talking about, Beshear.
Know anything about him?
No.
You know if he owned a pool room or a store or anything?
No.
Okay, did you know a fellow by the name of Everett Clark?
Everett Carter?
Clark.
Clark? No.
Okay. A fellow by the name of Pram, P-R-A-I-M?
No.
Okay. Did you know Oliver D. Clausen?
Clausen? Yeah, I knew Clausen.
Judge.
Yeah, Judge Clausen.
What did you think about him?
Well, I couldn't say too much because I didn't know him that well, but I knew him too as a person. I knew him.
Did you ever know Roy Cox?
Roy Cox, yeah. I see Roy Cox. He comes in here every now and then.
He was on the police department that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Did you know a Dr. G.G. Eckhart?
Yes, sir.
What did you know about him, if anything in particular?
He's dead.
Okay.
A lot of these people you're asking about, practically all of them are dead.
Right. I know that. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard. Do you ever know a black undertaker at Muncie, Indiana, by the name of A.B. Johnson?
Johnson? No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you know a fellow by the name of did you know Reverend A. Brown, Calvary Baptist Church?
No, I didn't know him.
Okay. Tobe Miller.
Tobe Miller.
Did you know him?
I think I did. I'm not too familiar with him.
Okay. Garl Peterson?
No.
Frank Parker?
Frank Parker? He was a policeman, wasn't he? Yeah.
What about Stella Nukes?
Yeah. Stella Nukes happened to be a cousin of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about her, what she might have known about this case?
No, she's quite a talker, and she's dead now. She left here and went to Pennsylvania.
Did you know Lillian Ward?
Lillian Ward? Yes, she was a school teacher here.
She was? She ever on the police department?
Who?
Was she ever on the police department?
Well, if she was on the police department, I don't know anything about it.
Okay, do you know anything she might have known about this case, or ever hear her talk about it, or say anything? Okay.
You know her son, don't you? The blind lawyer?
Yes, I do. Well, I don't think there's anything else that I could ask you about there. That's pretty much
it. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't be of more help to you, but I think if you talk to Alonzo Marshall, that you could get some good information.
You don't tell anybody and tell them you come. You go on.
You and I have talked about this several times,
mm-hmm.
independently, but I want to get it down. How old were you?
13.
13, and
mm-hmm.
where was this track located?
It's just right down here off of 38th Street. On 38th Street. The main gate was right down Felton Street with a gate right there. Oh. And when they revamped the track, well, they made another gate right at the end of Adams Street. And you know how you head out to Gas City? All that was a racetrack.
Horse races, races?
Yeah, horse races. Then they used to have car races. Wild Bill Cummins, I met him down there one day, smoking Chesterfield and advertising, smoking wings and advertising Camel.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you have a job there?
Yeah, we walked the horses there, my brother and I did. We walked the
horses.
What was
your brother's
there.
Name?
John.
Okay, how old was he?
14, about 14 and a half. Just about, practically about 9 months difference in our age.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... the only thing that you know about it was Thursday evening, about what time? Somebody came and got you, or how did you know?
No, we heard all the horns and things blowing up at the track. And my mother and them had went to a big barbecue out to Walt Sills's. And we heard all this noise and that stuff up at the track, you know? So we go up there, see all these cars line up, and they said they wanted to go in and drive around the track.
What time of night was that?
Oh, shit. Late around midnight. Well, after.
Around midnight?
Late, yeah. Right late. It was pretty late.
So you and your brother opened the gate?
Yeah, we opened the gate. Instead, it would get to give us $2 a piece. That was big money.
It gave you $2 a piece?
$2 a piece. Nobody said one word to them. And we stood there at the gate till they come back out. We thought, you know, it's a wedding or something. Nobody said one iota.
So they just drove around the track?
Yeah, drove around the track.
Blow the horns, you say?
Mm-hmm. Just drove around the track, blowing the horns, and come right out.
How many cars would you say were in it?
Oh, shoot. 25 or 30. Anyway, that many. It was that many cars.
Nobody rowdy or anything, huh?
Nobody was rowdy. Nobody said one word to us. Not one word.
No one had. They left. You just locked up and went back?
Locked up the gate.
Well, good on.
Yeah. See that track? Black people took that track over and revamped it, remodeled it and everything. And they had shot off $5,000 of the firecracker. 1/4 of July, and that busted them. They built a new grandstand and everything, put a new fence up there. And we were so poor that we used that fence for firewood, my brother and I did.
Is that right?
We used it killing and self-killing, you know. We first started out taking the braces off. Then we got every damn brace off of. We just go up and get a little wood, you know, get a little wood. And finally the damn thing just collapsed in time. And we just went, that was the end of that fence.
When did you hear about this lynching thing?
Well, I didn't hear about that till my mother come home. at night.
From the barbecue.
Yeah, come home from the barbecue.
She was out at the barbecue where you say a lot of folks were out there.
Yeah, a lot of folks was out there.
Well, where was that?
It was out in West Marin at Walt Sills, S-I-L-L-S.
And what did Walt Sills do?
Well, he was just, you know, he's one of those guys that bootlegged and everything, you know.
Big party or?
Yeah, big party, barbecue. Big barbecue.
What time did she come home, you know?
That was way late.
And what'd she say?
You know, they hung those boys. She woke us up, you know. And the next morning, she took my brother and I downtown. They just had cut them down. They was laying there covered up.
On the lawn?
Yeah, laying right on the lawn there covered up.
Mom might be able to tell you about Dad walking the town and what time of night.
Well, let's go back and pick that up a minute. You say your dad did what now?
Well, he heard the noise. He probably heard the cars blowing and everything.
From the track?
From the track. He went out and stood out in the middle of the street.
But he didn't know what had happened.
He didn't have any idea, but still he thought something was up. He walked to town before we had streetcars then. He walked to town before they were cut down.
Oh, he did walk
to town. He walked to town. He was, my dad was much smaller. He was a smaller guy, but he was going to protect his family. And then I think he called back. I don't know if he had a shoe shine shop then or
He was down. He was working at an opium man.
He called back and told Mom what had happened.
See, a lot of them didn't even know what happened. Old Jack Greer and them used to live right over on the corner at 37th and Felton. They didn't know until until after my mother and them come home. Then they started just alarming everybody, you know. I remember when the militia was here. Stayed right on over at my color school ground. And one night, we all, you know how they used to gather years ago, you know, we'd all go over on Lander Street in a visit, because that's where we first lived when we come to Marin, over on Lander, between 36th and 37th on Lander Street. And Fred Mosley was a policeman at that particular time. And Jim Weaver was a constable. That weekend, it was a Saturday night, very positive, it was Saturday, there was a big gathering over there, and here come Jack Edwards in the Marion Police Department. He was right with them. And Jim Los Browner and Will Butler and Phil Lee, they nailed Jack. Just give him all the hell in the world over him taking off the night of the lynching, going to Toledo. Said, here you out here now. We don't need you out here.
This was when?
That weekend. It was on a Saturday night.
That Saturday night following the thing?
Yeah. We was over on Anderson. So what? That's right. Jack was just like a damn kid then.
He's 28, I believe.
Yeah, no, Jim Weaver was a constable. And he was a fiery guy. And old Hez Burden, Danny Burden, Harrison Weaver, Lawrence Stewart, and all this group lived down east. Butch Churchill, all them guys lived down east, you know. And that was a rough gang down there, buddy. Now the militia didn't mess down there too much. Who knows?
What was your folks' name?
My dad's name was Arthur Mills, but my dad got killed in 1925.
What was
your mother's name? Claudia Mills. Claudia Mills.
C-L-A-U-D-I-E.
Yeah.
Claudie.
Now, Clarence knew her well.
Okay.
His dad got killed in an accident out the back.
Now, in 1939, one of the Dieter boys drove me to Chicago in 39 and was wanting to be my fight manager. And we drove to Chicago, and we watched Nate Bolden and Willie Joyce and those guys work out up at the ringside. And he told me on the trip up, he said, you know what? We were just as afraid as you people was in Marion. And when a string of cars would come down the highway, they would all run out in the fields and everything. He told me that.
Well, I think that's true.
Yeah, he told me that.
When We had, when was that, in the 60s when something happened at school and they got the burning around here?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had white friends tell us they were just as upset about it as the black ones. I think it was just fear on both sides.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Right.
No one thought anything actually like that could happen. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was surprised. Of course, people would do a lot of things out of curiosity. Helen's mother is the type that she cusses with by every other word. She'd probably get a
story out of her.
Story out of her.
Too bad Billy Connors is not living. Now, Billy, they damn near wanted to hang in because he sure tried to stop.
Well, who was the sheriff at the time?
Jake Campbell.
Did he want to stop it, or?
Does Helen's mother live with her?
Yeah, no, she lives right back here.
She lives right next door.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's home.
She's on the next street over.
See, years ago, I remember this, hearing the fellas talk about it. We had a sheriff named Tony George, and his own son and some more guys tried to storm the jail. You know, he shot his son right down there in that jail. Right. Tony George was his name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had some good old policemen at that particular time. We had Charlie Truax, John Shell, Pat Patterson, Roy Cox, and hell, Roy's still living, isn't he?
Yeah,
Roy's still living. Yeah, Roy can tell you a lot, too. You're Roy's a good Democrat, too. But what we blame Jack for, the old guy blamed him for, he said they told him he could declare an emergency and the city's streets be cleared. And then they didn't have a dam. There was no way they could have got him from jail to the courthouse. Couldn't have got him. Yeah.
You have any idea where Roy Cox lives?
Check the phone book, y'all. Roy, he lives out west there.
What's his name, Fisher?
But he's one of the very few officers living today. You know, Pat Patterson's still living. Mm-hmm. I see old Pat every once in a while.
Indianapolis,
but Roy's still living.
Well,
Brooks now you know Jack's always saying, "Here, Larry, take care of that. Here, there's one right there." Hey, Jack's got a ring. And he said Miss W.T. Bailey and Walter White gave it in 31, but he's wrong. Because they still hold that against that.
Hmm?
They still hold that against that. Walter White wouldn't have given it up then. Mm-hmm. No way. Because they threw the blame on him as much as it did Jake. That damn shirt come out of that City Hall window down there. Did you get to talk to Phil Boyd?
I haven't tried yet.
You know them people with this all around.